5. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God, for to you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for our time together, for this time of community. Coming together in the middle of the week is something different than what we're used to. We thank you for our time of having this delicious meal. We thank you for the hands that prepared it. We thank you, Lord, for the conversations and fellowship that we've shared already this evening. We thank you now as we're able to meet in this place, in this place that we call Emmanuel, as the family of God, as we join together in singing, in hearing your word of truth, in receiving these ashes as a reminder of our mortality. And I pray, Lord, now that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One day before I was married, I was stationed out in Cheyenne, Wyoming at F.E. Warren Air Force Base. And usually about a couple times a month or three or four times a month, I would come back here to the Neely area because I was dating my wife now, Becky. And she was going to school here at Northeast. And one of the times I came back, I would always park in our driveway, and I would come on a Friday. They'd usually let me off early on Friday, and I'd drive up here. It's about an 8-hour drive, and spend Friday night and Saturday and Sunday, and then I'd drive back to Cheyenne. And on Sunday after church, I was getting in the car, got everything packed, and I was getting ready to back out of the driveway, and I saw in my rearview mirror, as usual, my mom and dad would come outside to wave me off and I would honk. You know how that goes. Well, my dad was waving, but he wasn't waving goodbye at me. And I didn't realize that he was waving for me to stop. And I didn't understand. And before I knew it, I had backed into his pickup that was parked in the driveway, which I didn't realize, obviously. And if I remember right, it was freshly painted. It was a 1953 International pickup. And so anyway, I left there that day with a nice big green streak on the side of my car and a big white streak on the side of my dad's pickup. But I thought I knew what I was doing, but I was wrong. I missed my father's warning to me. And the consequence happened to be two dented vehicles. How many of us are like that? Heading for danger and missing our father's warning to us. We live in a society of self-willed, and we often go about our own stubborn way. And we think to ourselves, life is better in my hands. Let's say that together. Life is better in my hands. Don't that just feel good to say that? Life is better in my hands. But you know, even Jesus struggled with this very thing. If you remember, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that God would take this cup of crucifixion away from him. Remember that? But then he prayed, not my will, but yours be done. From the cross, we hear him say, then finally, in full surrender, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, this day is a time where we reflect on our mortality. And when we do that, all we can do is be but repentant people. To confess that life is better when we surrender to our Heavenly Father. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you will return. Repentance drives us to say, life is not better in my hands. Let's say that together. Life is not better in my hands. Life can only be better when I entrust my whole being, 24/7, 365, into the hands of my Heavenly Father. That's what this sermon text is about from 1 Peter 2 that I read a few minutes ago. Peter was writing to Christians, including us, but more specifically at that time, they were slaves in Asia Minor. Many of them, we can hardly imagine what their lives would have been like. They were not living with freedom to do whatever they wanted to do, go where they wanted to go. They were under a master, and they had to obey their master. Peter urges them not to strike out against their masters. Instead, he points them to the example of Christ, their Savior. Again, I'll reread a few of these verses. He wrote to them, Christ suffered for you, leaving you as an example that you should follow in his steps. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Life is better, Peter is saying, when we entrust ourselves to our Heavenly Father. But there's something even more important here that's going on. As much as Jesus is our model for trusting our lives to God, the reason we are here tonight even is because we believe that Jesus is our Savior from sin. He forgives us when we think and when we take control and say, God, life is better in my hands. Verse 24 and 25 says, he himself bore our sin in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Meaning the forgiveness he gives is different than the world around us. The forgiveness he gives is different from the world that is even to come. And we are to hold to simply pray the Spirit of God to lead us to surrender all of our lives into the loving hands of our Heavenly Father. And Ash Wednesday, the beginning of this Lenten season, prepares us by reminding us that the Christian life is much about repentance and confession of our sin, so that we can receive that forgiveness. So again tonight, we repent for those times that we think, God, I got this. Life is better in my hands. Jesus forgives. He himself who bore our sin in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. Therefore, true repentance is when we confess and receive God's forgiveness for Jesus' sake. And all we can do is be grateful as we pray for God's Spirit to help us then, as we live our lives for his glory. And how do we do that? Well, one way we do that is doing what we're doing tonight. Is coming together as the body of Christ. Being together is showing unity. In the midst of those things that are going on, where we come together to ponder these stories every Wednesday for the next month and a half. As we gather together that midweek especially, the story first of which we will celebrate here in a few weeks even, the story of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. We call that what? Good job. You were much quicker than the afternoon group. And they'd all had their coffee. Okay, here's another one, okay? The story of Jesus remembering God's deliverance by eating the Passover meal. When do we recognize that? The next day, right? Monday, Thursday. See, you're catching on. Don't anticipate. So, the story of Gethsemane, right? The story of the injustice brought by the religious leaders and the government of Jesus' day. We call that Good Friday. And this year we're going to have a special Good Friday service. A Good Friday service like you've probably never experienced before, actually. Our youth and I are going to have a very special service. So put that on your calendar. Also, there will be a movie that I highly recommend that you stay and watch after that as well. There will be a little intermission in between the service and the movie, but the movie will show right here. The Teens in Christ and I will be preparing for that. So put that on your calendar. And then the story of Jesus' death, the crowning story of all, his victory on Easter morning. Hallelujah. 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 So our life together as a church is different from any other organization or association that we are part of. Our life together here is one way the Holy Spirit keeps putting our lives in the hands of our Heavenly Father. Life together. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German theologian, pastor, Lutheran pastor, who died at the hands of the Nazis. He wrote this about community. Be aware of being alone. Into the community where you were called, the call was not meant for you alone. In the community of the called, you bear your cross, you struggle, you pray. If you scorn the fellowship of brothers and sisters, you reject the call of Jesus Christ, and thus your solitude can only be harmful to you and to others. Life together is better in the Father's hands. Amen and amen.